And here we go! Welcome everyone to the Ignite Rock Podcast, and this is your host, Ahmed Khalifa, and this is episode 12. I'm so excited, I'm so happy that you are here with me today. And if you haven't been here before, this is where I talk to awesome individuals who have created something awesome with WordPress. So welcome, really happy to see you here. And today we're going to be talking to someone really interesting. I'm talking to Erin Flynn, who is a web designer based in Aspen, Colorado. But she's not just an average web designer, because Erin helps other web designers and developers to run their business more efficiently and more effectively. Really interesting. And Erin has also helped to create a lot of resources for her audience, such as books and workshops and one-on-one mentorship, so many things. And it's really interesting. So hopefully you'll enjoy it. So just sit back, relax, as I talk to Erin Flynn. And here we go, everyone, again. I'm so excited about this one. This is one I've been waiting for a long time because it's so interesting. I'm here talking with Erin Flynn, all the way in Colorado. Remember, I'm in Edinburgh, so a bit of a time difference, but we made it work. It's all fine. And Erin, you can look at it as a web designer, but she does so much more than that. And I'll let you guys hear more about what she does. So Erin, thank you for coming onto the show. I really appreciate your time, and I can't wait to get into it. So let's just start off simply with what is, you know, your background. What is it that you do, and how you got to where you are today?
Well, honestly, it's like, oh my gosh, 18-year story now at this point. So I will condense it for you. I started making websites back in 1999, and I would just, you know, learned how to code, how to do it. And it was, you know, it just HTML and CSS at that point. PHP was like this big, scary, terrifying thing that most people didn't use. So I've been making websites for forever. I didn't do it professionally back then. I'm not that old. I did a few like freelance gigs in high school and college, and, you know, would pick up some work and get, you know, $500 for a website. But I never thought about making that a business until after college and after I had worked for other people. And I had a terrible job. I quit that job. And then I started my own web design business. And I did that pretty much exclusively web design and development. And I started using WordPress in, I want to say I used it in 2011 is when I got started. It might have been 2010, but I know 2011 for sure. I got started in WordPress just with blogging, and then I used it to make client sites when I started my business in 2012. And from there, I really built my business around WordPress, and I would make client sites. And for about 3 years, I did web design development. The fourth year, I switched doing just development to give that a try because I saw a lot of designers who couldn't do development. And I was like, there's a market here. Let me give that a shot. And then I also, around that same time, started doing coaching and teaching and making workshops for other web designers and developers, because I would get these clients coming to me and hiring me, not because I'm the best web designer or not because I'm the best web developer, but because they liked that I would explain things to them and I would communicate with them better. And I'm like, all of these wonderful designers and developers are missing this key piece of their business, which is talking to clients and communicating with them effectively. So that started kind of my coaching, consulting business, as well as a few workshops to help designers and developers get better at that. And then from there, I realized they were also disorganized, so I started doing workshops for that, and now I have a business where I teach web designers and developers all sorts of things about systems and communication, and I still have my own web design and development business, but I'm mostly known for helping other web designers and developers now. So I hope that was condensed enough.
Wow, 18 years, that's all in like a few minutes. Well done. That's pretty interesting, and that's why I wanted to talk to you, because, you know, you're not just a web designer. You kind of develop kind of a niche in a way that you help other web designers talking more to the client and helping communicate better and these kind of things. And it's so interesting that you got started from web design and development, learning PHP and HTML and CSS, to doing something a little bit different now. So you talked about escaping a terrible day job, as I understand, and you wanted to go on your own. And then now you're celebrating 5 years of self-employment, which is amazing. And that's kind of how I found out, because I read about you reading on a blog post about 5 years self-employment. So it's pretty amazing. And one thing I've learned from understanding more about what you do is running a web design business is hard work. It's not just about creating beautiful, you know, sites, is it? There's a lot more to it than that. Am I correct?
Oh, there's so much more to it. And that's what I think most people don't realize. They have the skills to make an incredible website, but I don't think that most colleges teach how to be a freelance web designer, where you're not just working for somebody who tells you, you know, go make this website, follow these instructions and make something beautiful. But when you're doing freelance on your own, there's so much more involved in terms of working with the actual clients and kind of getting them to explain, like it's an art form, getting them to tell you what they actually need so that you can make an effective design for them takes a lot of practice and learning how to communicate with lots of different kinds of people.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I definitely agree that university, college, they don't really teach you the equally important things like talking to client and, you know, these kind of communication skills, which is really, really important. And speaking of communication and the way you speak to people, one thing I've noticed on your site is you've got some powerful messages. And one of your call to action, which I love, is become unstoppable. And that's brilliant. I actually really, really love that. And then there's a theme. You say something about set up camp, client first aid, and reach the summit. These are kind of your services. You've got pictures of mountains and you love the outdoors. There's a theme. I'm seeing it somewhere. How did that come about? I mean, is that deliberate or did it come naturally to you?
Well, it's kind of both. When I started my business, I did what most female entrepreneurs do. I had like that pink, like teal and yellow website that we see very often. And that's totally fine because it does reach a target market, but it didn't feel genuine to me. It wasn't like I was doing it because I realized that was what at least a good portion of my target market would respond to, which is good branding. But when it doesn't match up with you, that's not a good fit. So I've slowly, like over the past 5 years, kind of tweaked my business. And I live in Aspen, Colorado, so I go hiking all the time. So I was like, you know, I could really easily, you know, all these pictures I take, all of the colors I see, I can turn this into my brand. And it feels like me. It's where I live. It's what I'm interested in. And hopefully my target market will respond to it. And fortunately they have, but that was definitely an experiment because I was leaving something that I knew they responded to and going to something that was more authentic to who I am as a person and what I felt comfortable with as a brand. Because if you meet me, I'm not going to be one of those women that wears, like, you know, the pretty dresses and does her hair all up. I'm going to be in jeans and a, you know, a WordPress site care t-shirt and, you know, just like my hair back in a ponytail, minimal makeup. Like that's who I am. And I'll talk to you about hiking and skiing and those kinds of things and not about what lipstick's a good color. So for me, that really feminine branding was just not a good fit. And I had to make that change so that it felt genuine. And I think that's been much more effective in reaching my target audience because it's not fake. It's not a front that I'm putting up. It's me. And I'm sure it turns some people off, but it's me. And so they feel like they're getting me when they come to my website.
And that's a good point. It's about being authentic, really. And you know, why would you want to fake your way around everything? It's not comfortable. It doesn't feel like you. It doesn't show your brand the way you want it. Be you. And I completely agree that that's the way forward. Some people might not like it, but that's okay, because I imagine that those people, then they're not kind of your target market. And those who resonate with you, resonate with your image and brand and that kind of thing, they are the right people that kind of work with you. So it makes complete sense. I totally get it. So you've mentioned, you know, that you first got into WordPress back in 2010, 2011. Can you remember what was your first experience like back then?
So I've always had a blog before the term blog existed. So, you know, back in 1999, 2000, I don't know exactly when the term came about, but if it was around back then, it wasn't well known. So I've always had a blog. And so I had come back, I spent 2 years living in Germany, and then I came back to the States, and I wanted to switch off of LiveJournal, which I had been using for, you know, documenting. Everybody remembers LiveJournal. And I wanted to have something that was mine and something that I could play around with the design with. So I had looked into Blogger, and I wasn't thrilled. Even back in like the early 2000s, I knew that I wanted to own my platform. Like, I wanted my domain name. I wanted to have control over my content. And LiveJournal, I didn't, but that was just, you know, a throwaway journal. But for something that was mine, I knew I wanted to own it. So WordPress was really appealing. It had what I felt like a really big learning curve compared to what I was used to. And I remember trying to modify themes back then. And anybody who was working with WordPress back then knows that it was much more involved. Like, we didn't have like customizers and stuff. So you had to like go in and do the code. And when you weren't familiar with things like the WordPress loop and this and that, it was very intimidating. So I broke my site a lot, which was fine. And then, you know, after about a year or so of playing with that, having my own blog, I had a comic back then. So I would use WordPress for my comic and as well as like a personal journal. I got pretty comfortable with modifying it, which is why when I launched my business, I used WordPress for all of my client sites, because I realized how powerful it was, as well as for the client, if they're just updating a blog or things like that, it was much easier than anything else that I'd ever used.
And it's so, so true that it's so powerful. And you've mentioned one of the key words that I've always said is to break it. And I mean, not deliberately, but if you practice at home and you break it and you learn from it and you try it again, that's one of the best way for me anyway to learn how to, well, learn anything. But in this case, I guess it's WordPress. So I can understand what you're saying, because that's how I kind of got into it in the beginning. You go home, you try it, you broke something, you learn how to fix it, and then you do it again and again and again. Gradually, you learn. And it's such a key point that it is such a powerful platform. So I agree with you on that. And you would know yourself that some people might think like, you know what, WordPress not for me, I find it difficult, or, you know, I just can't really use it myself. What advice would you give to those who want to start their own WordPress site?
So I think that, and I have to be totally honest here, I think that when you're just starting out, you need to keep it completely basic and not worry about having all of the bells and whistles. Just worry about figuring out the basics, figure out, and especially with themes today, you can change your colors and stuff through most themes, like through the customizer. And it's really easy. A lot of them will have, you know, here, upload your logo here, like change your background color here, change your link color. So you can customize things. And I wouldn't worry. A lot of people think that, oh, I'm on WordPress, so I have to do something completely custom. And that's not the case at all. And I don't know why people think that, when there are thousands and thousands and thousands of beautiful themes to choose from. But my advice is just to keep it simple and slowly, you know, make tweaks, and don't be afraid of breaking it. You get, you know, a backup plugin, you can restore it. It's really like, if you get something like Backup Buddy, and I'm not affiliate or anything for them, but if you get something like that, it's so easy to just restore what you had, or, you know, you get on some good hosting with like a one-click restore. You can do things like that and not be afraid to break it. And so I think that the thing is that too many people think that WordPress is complicated because they're trying to dive straight in and do something completely custom straight off the bat. And that's not how you should start really anything. You should start, you know, slowly, and as you get more comfortable, just, you know, play around. And when you break it, it's really okay. There are ways to restore it. So don't freak out.
Don't freak out. I know. Just don't freak out. It'd be fine. And I agree. I think people maybe expect too much in the very beginning when they have a website. The one-click install, they've got a theme, and possibly, yes, they expect too much too soon, especially when you compare with other website around. You want the, I don't know, you want that flashy video appear in the front homepage and so on. But I agree 100%. Start simple and then build upon it, you know, over time kind of thing. So completely agree with you on that. So that's for the, you know, that's for the maybe the newbie or people who just gotten into WordPress. But obviously you focus more on, you know, helping the designers and developers to talk to the client and be more productive and obviously help with their business. So what's the best advice that you have for those designers and developers who kind of want to improve their communication with their client and get the message across as clearly as possible? What's the best advice you have about that?
My best advice for that is honestly, remember that, well, first, okay, I've got two things. First, your client is not stupid. And I hate that people perpetuate this. Oh, my client's so dumb. They don't understand like how this thing works. They're not stupid. They're just not an expert in the same area that you are an expert in. If they were, they'd be building their own website. So they're an expert in whatever it is that they're doing. And you're an expert in whatever it is you're doing, which is building them a website. So don't think that they're stupid just because they don't understand the terms that you understand. And so to go with that, clients want to have updates and they want things put in simple terms. And so my best advice to keep your clients happy while you're building them a website is a weekly email or a weekly check-in where literally all you do is you say, here's what I've accomplished this week. Here's what I'm working on next week. That alleviates so much stress for the client who's probably paid you thousands of dollars. And then if you disappear for 2 or 3 weeks, they're like, oh my gosh, what happened to my money? I don't know what's going on. So just a simple 5-minute email to check in with them and tell them what's going on. And if you can include screenshots, like you might not be ready for them to give you feedback for revisions, but you know, a simple screenshot that says like, I've worked on these different things. Here's what's going on. That makes a world of difference in terms of your client being happy. And just use the simplest terms possible when you do that so that they understand what it is you're talking about or throw in those screenshots.
Yeah, no jargons and no fancy words. And yeah, I kind of definitely agree with that. So it makes sense, I suppose, because some people, you say weekly, I guess some people have fortnightly, maybe some people have like at the end of every month. Would that be the same? I mean, or do you think that it's better to have a weekly 5-minute chat as opposed to a monthly half an hour chat? What would you suggest the best thing to do?
Well, I think it depends. I think, like I said, a weekly email is good. I wouldn't probably talk to them every week unless they are a very high-end client where you need to actually review things with them every week or get information from them every week, because that just wastes time for you and for them. But a 5-minute, you know, email where you just send them like that list of here's what I've done, here's what I'm doing next week, that helps. And then I would recommend either every other week or once a month doing that face-to-face like Skype call where you actually connect with them. You maybe walk them through what's going on so that they can see it, because that helps. A lot of people don't understand, like they might get the email and that helps them. They go, okay, great, I know it's being worked on, but they don't understand it necessarily. So being able to share your screen and walk them through what you've done in the past month or so is more effective. I don't recommend that for people who are selling $500 websites. It's not worth the time necessarily. But, you know, once you're over the $5,000 mark, your clients expect a certain level of attention. And I don't think that, you know, a 15 to 30 minute monthly call to show them what you've been doing is bad. I think that's really needed.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you for sharing that. That's really, really useful. I hope everyone's listening as well. So let's talk about, you know, in terms of your strength, what is your biggest strength, do you think?
My biggest strength, as told to me by all of my clients, is my communication. I actually majored in communication in college, and I'm perfectly happy to break things down, make sure that they understand things. So patience is probably a good strength of mine as well, because they don't necessarily get it the first way I explain it, and I have to change, you know, how I tell them what's going on. And so I think that is my biggest strength, and it's really been so beneficial to me in my business because, like I said, clients know what's happening as opposed to just getting a ton of like tech language thrown at them.
Wow. Makes sense, and I'm not surprised that you kind of not grew up with it, but you went to college learning communication, then you have your business based around communication, and now you're communication expert. Wow, that's another skill on your CV. Wow, and so let's go around it. What do you think is your biggest weakness, and how do you go around it?
My biggest weakness. I think that my biggest weakness, let's see, putting me on the spot here. I get around it. I actually think that it's kind of a strength, but it can also be a weakness, is that I'm not the most creative person. Like, you're probably never going to look at one of my designs and be blown away by it. Like, you're just not, I mean, they're effective. Like, I work very hard on the strategy for my clients, but I don't think outside of the box in terms of actual design. And that has always been a very big sticking point to me. It's why I switched to development only for a while, because I just don't feel like my design strength is that good. And as a web designer, that's kind of a big fault. So the way I've gotten around it is I'll typically do all of the strategy for the website. Like, I'll map it out. I'll do like the wireframes, but I will hire somebody who's much more creative than I am, who thinks outside the box, who can really bring a design to life. I will hire them to do the design work that I just feel like I can't do. And I think that's totally an okay thing. Like, know what your strengths and your weaknesses are and find somebody who's stronger than you so that they can make your business better.
I agree with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting some help with something that you're not the best at. In a way, that's how business works, isn't it? You have different people working in different speciality and different expertise, and they all focus on their own thing. There's no way everyone can do everything by themselves, and you can't be an expert at everything. So it makes sense to me, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I outsource a few things that I'm not an expert in, and just to help make sure my client get the best possible service and results. So there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion, at all. So you had a 18 year journey, as you called it, and you got to where you are today. If you had to start again, what would you do differently, if anything at all, along that journey?
I think that, well, knowing what I know now, I would do a lot of things differently if I could go back in time. But I think that struggling through the problems that I had made me get to where I am now. So I don't know that I would actually do anything differently unless I could travel back in time with the knowledge, because there are certainly things that I could have done that maybe would have helped boost my business faster. I see people who started around the same time as me who are like the big names, you know, in the industry, and they're super well known. And I think because they chose a focus much earlier, they didn't change things up as much as I did. So I think that if you can choose a focus and stick to it, that's probably great advice. But I'm actually really happy that I tried a bunch of different things and I learned what I liked and what I didn't like, and I took the time to figure that out. So I don't know that I would actually change anything. I think that it was a good learning experience and that it got me where I am today, and I'm happy where I am today. So I think I'm good with it.
You're good with it. I think it's great to see that you look back at your experience, the good and the bad, and it kind of made you who you are today. So I think a lot of people could resonate with that. And it's a really, really cool answer. So then, in terms of, you know, if you're going to get all emotional about it and get, you know, deep, what are you most proud about with your business?
So I'm most proud of being able to help people. I get nice emails from other web designers and, of course, from clients that I've worked with doing websites, where they tell me that what I've done has really helped their business. And that just makes me so happy. Like, I have a folder of like what I call happy emails, because I just love getting those. And it thrills me that I've been able to have such a positive impact on other people's businesses, whether it's through, you know, working with them to build a website, or, you know, coaching them, or they took some of my courses, or even if they just got some value out of a blog post and they took the time to write me an email. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is why I'm doing it, to help other people.
That's great. I like the happy email session. I really like that. That's
when you have a bad day, it's the best thing. You just go back through your happy emails and you're like, I'm doing okay here. This is a bad day, but other people, you know, they like me, so it's all right.
And especially if you have those times where you get that imposter syndrome feeling, you just go over those emails. You know what? I'm good at it. I know I can do a good job. I know I can help people. That's a great idea. And and I think what the listeners should know is that I kind of did the same thing. I read your blog post, the one about your 5-year anniversary. I really enjoyed reading it. I got so excited because I'm kind of about 10 months in. And I reached out to you, and that's how we connected. That's how we're doing this. So, you know, I think the lesson sometimes is just reach out to, you know, whether it's people who have helped you with your website or service, just tell them thank you for helping me. It's great. We love it. It's a really, really nice thing to share. So that's great. I love that. So it's been really, really interesting. I've got a better idea of what you do now because, you know, people who just briefly look at what you do will think you're a web designer, but it's so much more detailed than that. It's really, really interesting. So I really want to thank you for sharing your knowledge, your word of wisdom, your 18 years journey and everything. It's really, really cool. So if people want to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Probably going to my main website, aaronflynn.com is the best. It's my hub for everything. I am on Twitter a lot. If anybody wants to tweet at me, quick questions, I'm at Aaron3Flynn, and I'm on there way too much, but I'm happy to answer quick questions on there. But otherwise, my main website, you can get to everything else that I do through that.
And I'll make sure I will link to that on the show notes as well. So Aaron, thank you so much again for telling us all your story, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
No problem.
And that is it. Thank you, Aaron, once again for coming onto the show. Really appreciate it and really enjoyed talking to you, and has been very, very interesting to see how people can run their business more efficiently and more effectively. One of the main things I picked out from this is that in order to please your clients and customers, communication is one of the key aspects of your business. Whether it's fortnightly, weekly, monthly, make it happen. Communicate regularly, keep them up to date, and they will be very happy and they will appreciate it. And a happy client is equal happy business. So make sure you do that, listeners. If you want to see the show notes of the show, you can find them on igniterock.com/episode12. And if you've enjoyed the show, I would really appreciate it if you could leave a review as well. It would make me very, very happy and also help me to reach more people about how awesome WordPress can be for you and your business. So, thank you for listening. And in the meantime, let's rock with WordPress.